Dear Diary, since we find ourselves within this circle of trust, I must confess, several times over the last century, I have considered hanging up the cape and collar and retiring from the Dracula business. It's not quite as glamorous as it would seem. Drinking blood is pretty yucky. It's like a warm, penny-flavored milkshake. Also, I can't stand to fly. But I'm not that naive. I understand that for this realm to be what I need it to be, it needs me to be Dracula. And if all goes according to plan, that's exactly what it's going to get. Dracula. Bloodless. Forevermore.
I'm going to hate killing that guy. I think he's a very sympathetic character.
Not me. Did you hear the way he referred to blood? It's one of the grossest things I've ever heard in my entire life. Yeah.
I want to make it clear I did not come up with that, because that's like, sometimes Stephen King writes something so like fucking freaky in his book, yeah, that you're like, I know, yeah, he's making make-believe, but that's a freak came up with that.
Have you ever heard his wife Tabitha King in a lot of interviews would be like, yeah, it's not uncommon for Steve, she calls him Steve,
yeah,
to come into my bedroom like pow 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 pow, like, Tabitha, I did it again.
They sleep in separate, yeah, bedrooms,
separate houses. Whoa. And he knocks on her bedroom door and he's like, Tabby, I did it again.
Yeah,
I did it again. I spooked myself out. I, yeah, wrote it too spooky.
And he's got his teddy bear and his little blankie with him.
You gotta let me sleep with you tonight. I gotta sleep with you tonight, Tabby. I scared myself.
Hey, she made him lock up Pet Cemetery, the manuscript for Pet Secretary, for years.
Pet Secretary is great. I love Pet Secretary when the dog shows up and he's like, any notes, sir? With
Maggie Gyllenhaal, you saw that.
Hold my calls.
Oh, Dad. Dad. I don't know how I feel about that. That was really good and I hated it at the same time.
Yeah, I hated how on point it was. Okay, the three of you, and you're now two dogs, descend down a spiral staircase into...
We are now two dogs.
You, into an underground laboratory. It's a long corridor, a huge, huge cavernous chamber. You are looking over it from a sort of elevated platform that the staircase exits out onto. And from this platform, there are two short staircases sort of leading down to the rest of the lab. In the half of the room closest to you, things are way in a state of disarray. There's crates and just large glowing yellow rocks piled up sort of all around the room in disorganized piles. In the middle of the room, you can see what appears to be an operating table where some unfortunate soul has wasted away to a skeleton. Its skull is fastened to a sort of helmet, which is connected by dozens of wires to a console further down in the room. The smell in here is unbearable, and it is not difficult to ascertain why. On the opposite end of this long chamber, you see a giant glass tank, a sort of containment unit, which is host to what could only be described as a bunch of unassigned body parts. What would have likely been fodder for some of his makeshift bodies have become something else in Dr. Frankenstein's absence. There is just a pile of limbs, mostly hands, sort of shambling inside of this containment unit. They have formed a sort of cadaverous rat king. You can see it moving, not with any sort of intent that you can figure out. It is contained, and it likely hasn't noticed that the five of you are here, because how would it?
It is in a tank, right?
It's in a big containment unit, yes. Okay. There's sort of metal grating on the top and bottom of it, so it is not, like, airtight, but, you know, it's not like this thing can just, like, come out and destroy you all. Two large pylons flank the containment unit, each of which is attached through long cables to three smaller batteries each. You can see this in the map I have provided you. Half of these batteries seem to be providing power to this containment unit. The other half appear unpowered. There is a marquee on the containment unit that has a lightning bolt and a number 4 on it. That is what you see as you enter this chamber.
I am going to head up to the chamber and peer in.
Sure.
To see if I can recognize any body parts of mine. I know that I was largely exploded.
Right.
But I don't know the extent to which I was exploded, so I'd just like to see if I see any, like, hands.
I feel like Pierre explained it pretty well. It's kind of like vaporized, kind of.
Okay. You never know.
Okay.
She's holding out hope. You don't want her to hope?
I'm going to need a fairly high perception check on this, because this is a pretty huge room you just wandered into, and there's a lot of shit everywhere.
I'm just looking at the tank.
Just looking at the tank. Okay, give me...
Well, because you said that's where all the limbs were.
Yes, give me an investigation check.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That's a nat 20.
Natural 20. 20.
Fuck, man. All
right. You know everything.
Sorry, take a second. It's all right. No one expects a natural 20.
The containment unit is illuminated inside with the same sort of yellow light that is coming off of the batteries and the pylons and the yellow crystals in this room. And in that yellow light, you see in the tank a flash of blue. Just a faint glint that draws your eye. And when you turn to get a better look, you see the hand of... I mean, it's... Hold on. I'm coming up with this shit on the fly. Hold on. I guess that's Dungeons & Dragons, isn't it?
Yeah. But a 20 is weird, because you got to justify
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
Like, yeah.
You see a weathered hand. Your hand. And you know it is your hand, because it is wearing your sapphire signet ring. You see it clear as day for just a moment before it scuttles deeper into the pile and you lose track of it.
You okay?
Did anyone else see that? Anyone?
See what?
He's got my hand. I've not been entirely vaporized.
Oh, that's nice.
That's my good tea drinking hand.
So you have a bad tea drinking hand like
that? Look at this mitt. Look at this.
You couldn't even properly extend your pinky the way you're supposed to when you.
That's
drink
true
tea.
because of the sinew.
Yes.
Oh,
too much sinew. That's what I would say. Griffin.
Yeah.
I would like to. Are there any, like, hands scuttling around? Are there any body parts moving around outside of the containment unit?
Give me a perception check, please. We'll say if you're just sort of scanning the room for
movement.
Yeah,
I'm just looking around for weird shit.
Mm. That's a critical failure.
It was. Yeah, I agree.
Feast or famine with you boys today. You don't see anything. It is so, the thing at the end of this room is so grotesque and horrifying. It is difficult for you, even a seasoned monster hunter, to like pull your attention away from it. Philo, any checks you'd like to make? Any action?
Yeah, I think,
I think he'd like to take a look at the lightning bolt four thing. Lightning bolt four. To kind of see if there's like any kind of operating mechanism for the containment unit.
Sure. We'll say that, you know, you are a practitioner of the medical arts for the most part, but...
And an artificer.
And an artificer. That's a very good point. Okay, so we'll do a... we'll call this Arcana, right? That is a sort of summary knowledge of your magical stuff, and sure. this is, you know, the other side of the same coin.
Okay, so if it's...
Holy shit.
Well,
how about a 21? No.
All right. Yeah, you get a basic sort of idea of this machinery just sort of following the cables, right? It's all one unit. There is a table with the helmet and the skeleton that seems to be going into this unit. The containment unit. The batteries are powering the whole thing, these six batteries, three of which are turned on, three of which are not, sort of funneling energy through these pylons into the tank. There is a console on the front of the tank that everything seems to be connected to. You can see the console is in like everything else in here, a state of disrepair. There are there's a portion of it that's just been smashed in. There's buttons missing, but there are a few things sort of illuminated that you can't quite see from here. The creature inside of the containment unit, it seems like this thing is used for something else, and this is a nest for a bigger monster. You get the impression that this shambling mass of limbs that has taken up residence in here that's not what this machine is for. It just happens to be maybe the warmest spot in the room.
Is it closed? Is it sealed in there?
Except there's some gaps in like some metal bars near the top of the unit, but it does seem to be otherwise sealed in there.
Okay.
So my limb, does it just seem to be in there, or is it part of the?
It's part of the blob.
Blob. Okay. Mound
is what it's labeled as here.
Mound. I would love to attack the glass of the tank. Ooh. With a sword of my with my axe. Sorry, Jennifer Myers.
Okay.
Can we contest that? I don't want to stop it from doing it.
I mean, you can certainly talk as you see. This is, I will say, a huge distance away from where you are. So you would have some time as Lady Godwin charged Leroy Jenkins style into the mystery lab to
now, save. Wait, I'm pretty sure that I ran up to the tank to go look for my hand.
Yeah.
And I was at the tank looking for my hand with a 20.
I didn't. Okay.
I don't want to stop. I don't want to stop Justin the player. I don't want to talk Justin out of it. I want Mutt to try to like catch the axe or get in the way. Because
okay, how about this? I'll give it to you. I rear back to attack. I'll give you a whoa whoa whoa.
Okay, whoa 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 whoa. Whoa. Listen.
You see the hat. You see my hat.
No, listen. Absolutely, absolutely, I do.
Okay then.
But I also see batteries running into it, and what if you smash it and release a bunch of electricity and fry your hand?
Okay, well,
perhaps there's a way to open it without destroying it.
Oh, yeah, I suppose we could go that route. I would love to just sort of, you know, give it a little smash.
No, I know, and listen, might come to that.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I suppose we could hold off for a moment. I would ask this, if smashing does need to be done, I would love to be the party responsible for said smashing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And I am not leaving without the hand.
No, I think we definitely need to recover your hand.
Thank you.
Is it possible you...
I don't know what I'll do with it, honestly. It couldn't go with the rest of the look at all, if you know what I mean.
Is it possible you have other components in there? Do you recognize any of them?
As I understand it, I was pretty thoroughly blinced, so I would be just absolutely shocked if there's more appendages in there of my own.
Where are you at sort of right now, Brother Philo? I'm trying to sort of establish the scene here on the map to just kind of keep...
Well, I think he got close. I think he's also fairly close because he got close enough to inspect the console, right?
Okay.
I think Philo would like to take a look at the batteries, specifically the one where there's one battery...
Disabled on the north side there?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me an investigation check or arcana. Okay. Well, we can also keep that rolling.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Nat 20.
Well, no, dirty 20, but still very
dirty
good.
Dirty 20.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you look around at the batteries. You see that the three batteries that are shut off, they're sort of in different states right now. You notice the ones on the other side of the room. One of them just appears to be turned off. One of them is sort of a bit frayed at the bottom and is giving off a couple sparks here and there. The one you are standing next to is just empty. It doesn't seem to contain the same yellow stone that the other ones appear to have in it. So this one is just sort of missing its powering core, which you've noticed in sort of piles scattered around the room.
Do I see any of those yellow stones?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you want to, Brother Philo? I admit about my depth. Would you? Do you want to try to chuck one of these in?
Yes. I believe if you look at the sign with the four and the lightning bolt. I believe that's probably telling us if we get four of these batteries operational, we may be able to operate this console.
Yeah, I'm failing to see if that's something we necessarily want.
Well, you want your hand, don't you?
I do. I desperately want my hand. I do worry about the power igniting some sort of... see that little grouchy bugger in there? I'm worried that he'll... maybe that's to open it. Four to open.
Maybe.
And then it'll all sloosh out.
Maybe we could talk to it. It's made out of parts, right?
Try to talk. You made quick work of that puppy outside. Maybe try discussing the animal life or whatever your tricks are.
Handle it. Discuss animal life. What's it like being
handle
an animal?
The animal. I don't know how one handles an animal. That hand in there never touched an animal.
Never?
Not a fan.
Okay.
Look at these hands. These hands are made for petting beasts. You can see me scooping up some sort of bear hide with it, you know.
Do you want to pet Sloppy?
I'd rather not.
Okay.
Sloppy.
He's kind of a Scooby-Doo character this way.
Okay.
Sloppy seems right at home in here. Sloppy is just sort of strutting around, sniffing around. There's like a little pile of rags that he sort of nestles down into.
Okay, so...
Your dog, your chicken shit dog is by the door.
She's not chicken shit. She's worth it. I'm going to check out the... there's a helmet on the skeleton that's connected to the thing, right?
Yes, yes.
Griffin, in any other game, were we not playing an RPG based on Dungeons and or Dragons? Yeah. I would not ask this, but is the skeleton moving?
No, the skeleton is not moving. I'm not even going to make you roll for that.
Okay,
great. It ain't moving.
Hey, sorry to bother you, big mass of stuff in there. You got a name?
There is. Where are you at as you are doing this?
I am standing a safe distance away.
Okay.
I'm standing, at the foot of the skeleton table looking at the big containment unit.
Okay. It does not respond. Lady Godwin, are you still up against the glass, sort of?
I am, yeah.
Okay. No, there is...
But I'm just looking at this point. I'm just kind of watching it.
For sure.
There
is no, there's no response, Mutt, because, like, there's no ears as far as you can tell in there.
I'll tell you what. I will go ahead and grab one of the yellow stones and bring it over to Philo. I don't know if he what he wants to do with it or not, but I'm
sure.
Going to try to bring one of them over. They seem big, but right. It's hard to tell scale on a map.
Okay.
But.
They are quite large. You get up to them. They are about, they're about the size of your torso. They are quite heavy. You get the impression that with a smaller frame, these would not be movable without some sort of special machinery. But with you, it seems doable.
Okay, well, I'll haul one over.
Okay. I need you to give me first a strength check.
Okay.
See if you can haul one of these things, deadlift it out of the crate that it's sitting in. Yes, on a 17, you heft it up from the crate. And now I'm going to need you to give me a constitution saving throw, please.
It's a 20.
Wow, okay. On a 20, you feel an electrical current charge through this thing. And it is weird because you can tell your body is not enjoying the feeling of holding this thing. But perhaps through your sort of Frankensteinian build, those signals aren't exactly reaching your brain. And so it is not an issue for you to hold this.
Brother Philo, I'm sorry. I don't wish to alarm you, but this is quite unpleasant. If you could let me know if you'd like me to chuck it in or not, it's a bit above my station to make these decisions. But please, let me know immediately.
I would say that from the earlier 20... Mm-hmm. That Philo would know
how to insert it. There is a hatch on the top that you can crack open.
Right here, my lady, and he opens the hatch.
Okay.
You put that crystal right in here.
She chucks it in.
All right, you put it in the hoop like slam.
And after she puts the kyber crystal in, Griffin, what happens?
It turns into a lifesaver.
Delicious.
So, when that happens, there is a flicker of light. The room grows somewhat brighter, as do the pylons on the opposite end and the containment unit. The marquee, which said 4, now updates and says 8. And when that happens...
Wait, it says 8?
It says 8.
When that happens... Interesting.
The shambling mound does seem to take notice. You see a large group of hands sort of on the outskirts of the pile extend their fingers suddenly as if in a state of shock. When that happens, the shambling mound shakes like a dog trying to dry itself off. And all of those hands come flying out of the bars at the top of the containment unit. I'm going to need everyone to roll for initiative.
Twelve for me.
14 for me.
19.
All right. You count 10 hands that have flown out of the top of the tank and landed in a sort of phalanx formation in front of the containment unit. Lady Godwin, give me a just straight-up luck check, D20. We'll see if your hand is one of the 10 that came out. We'll say if it's...
Do you think it's good luck or bad luck? if my hand comes out.
I'm not sure. We'll say 10 or above, your hand comes out. Nope, 3. Nope, you do not see your signet ring amongst these 10 hands.
That makes this easier.
They are now, in, like I said, in this phalanx formation, and they appear to be crawling outwards in a wave. You have activated now 4 of the batteries, and like I said, the number at the top has doubled and increased to 8. And first in the order is Lady Godwin.
Griffin, can you remind me what was wrong with the other 2 batteries? One was just off?
One was just turned off, and one was frayed at the bottom. Great.
While they're still clumped, I'm going to try to grab another crystal and chuck it at them.
Okay. Yes, this is going to be a bit of a hike, I think, for you to get to one of these crystals and chuck it. but you can get to the crystals no problem. I think it's just your attack roll is going to have to be quite high to just even make it to the other end of the room. So why don't we do that? We'll do an athletics check right. just to see if you can huck one of these things to the other side of the room, and then I'll make them do dex saves to see if this works. Okay. So give me an athletics check to see if how far you can kind of caber toss this thing. Oh, my God. That is a dirty 20. Yep, no problem, wow. baby. We are going to roll... We're going to roll some dex saves. Are you throwing it at the sort of northern clump of hands? Or
yes, the upper clump that's closer to my side of the map.
Yeah, we have right. bad news for you. We ran all the tests. It's your upper clump. Your upper clump, it's infected. We're not going to... I don't know, man.
Okay.
Wait, can I do another one? I think one of my favorite parts...
Sure, yeah, no, we have time to do five saves.
If it's unless it's better than that
okay.
one.
Okay. I think I really liked Nutty Professor and then Nutty Professor Meet the Clumps, but I like the upper clumps the best.
Okay, that one wasn't as good, I don't okay. think. Hmm. So got two more checks to make if you think you got one more in the...
Nope.
All right, so five hands, five dexterity saving throws. There is an... Jesus Christ. There is an explosion, a flash of yellow light that rips through the northern half of the room. These five hands vanish inside of it, and when the light clears, only one hand remains. The saves were 10, 9, 6, 16, and 8. This is lucky number 16 here. That is your turn. Next in the order is Mutt.
I want to make it to the battery that is turned off.
Okay, that is the sort of furthest battery down here. You reach it, and pretty simply, there is just a lever on the front of it that is switched into the down position.
I switch it.
Fantastic, fantastic. You do that, and once again, there is a flash of light in this room. When that happens, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw. Please, Crawford Muttner.
Dexterity saving throw. That's a 15.
The wires, the cables at your feet, attempt to ensnare you. They attempt to wrap around you. With a 15, you are able to hop back, realizing what is happening. However, that was not the only threat here. The cables... continue to sort of grow and wrap around themselves until they form a creature made of cables. And that is this Vine Blight, which is now going to join the initiative order. That is your turn, Mutt. We are going to actually do the Vine Blight's turn right now.
Can I? I want to speak as well, if I may.
Sure.
Hey, Philo, you're like a science-y kind of techie person, right?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Us turning this on is what we're supposed to do, right? Because, like, I saw you guys turn that one on, so I turned this one on. And in retrospect, like, should I ask you first, are we doing the right thing turning it on? Should we turn it off? What are we looking at here?
I don't... no, for sure.
Time
I was
to have this conversation. I know. Fascinating moment. You've chosen to have this exchange.
The indicator is up to 16, so I would say we're doing something correct.
Yes, when you turned on this last battery, the number doubled once again to 16.
How does it look inside the tank?
Very bright, quite bright now. In fact, I will say with the light as bright as it is, with the pile thinned out a little bit from the 10 hands that hopped off of it, you can see your ringed hand again on the sort of top of the pile.
Well, let's not turn anymore on, please, until I've retrieved my hand. I don't want to turn it to ash.
Okay. The Vine Blight is a brand new baby. Is going to take its turn now. It is going to whip some of its vines towards you, Crawford Muttner, and try to constrict you. That is a 9 versus AC.
That does not hit.
Tragic. Okay. Then that is its turn. Next in the order, we are going to move on to Brother Philo.
Philo runs over to the skeleton on the bed. And says, I have an idea. And he puts the helmet on his head.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Okay, you can do this. For sure. You yank the skeleton down from the table, pop the helmet on your head. From your position right here, you see the console. You're right next to it, where you are, and there are a couple of buttons that are illuminated. There's a large red one that seems to have the same lightning bolt symbol on it. And there is a green one.
With no lightning bolt?
With no lightning bolt on it.
Could I make an arcana check?
Sure. You may.
10.
I mean, none of them are labeled other than this. Other than the lightning bolt on the red button. So this is not like a... you know, machinery thing. This is like a, this is a poor user interface designed by someone who didn't think anyone else was going to be using this panel but him. You can tell that the wires, at least running into the helmet, do go into the console and then further into the containment unit. They are running along the ground, and so this shambling mound is sitting on top of whatever this stuff is hooked up into. But that is what you see.
I think he's going to try to communicate with the shambling mound.
Psychically?
Right. Hmm?
Psychically? What do you mean communicate?
Using the helmet.
Okay, it's not, you don't put it on, it's not Cerebro. So you don't put it on and immediately you're like, pretty cool to be a hand. This is a connecting. I did not think you've stupefied me with this decision, and I'm very excited about it. There is no voice. There is no psychic connection that seems to open up whenever you put on the helmet. All you can hear through the helmet, I will say, is just a faint buzz of electrical energy.
Okay, all right. When did the two buttons light up when he put the helmet on?
No, they have been on.
Okay. I think I'm going to have Brother Philo drop to one knee and pray for guidance.
Okay. Do you have the spell guidance?
I don't know if I have a spell.
Just the thing he does.
This is all structured. This is all built into it. We have mechanisms for talking to God. Okay. You can't just talk to him.
No, well, I mean, listen, the power of prayer is, I'm always saying this stuff. Very real. So if you want to.
If this show's about nothing else.
Yeah. If you want to make a very good religion check to see if you feel the Lord moving in this underground laboratory tonight, I will absolutely always allow that.
Then that is what I shall do. Here it goes. A 15 religion check.
Okay. What is the name of your... what's your order called? Tancred?
Tancred. St. Tancred.
You drop to one knee and you pray for guidance from St. Tancred. And it doesn't work like a lot of people assume it does. There is no heavenly body that appears before you and tells you what it is you should or shouldn't do. It's more like a subtle nudging of your own common sense that tells you that you are in an underground lab with a big weird machine with a bunch of dead body parts in it. And there's a helmet connected to this machine, and you've put it on your head, and you've stood in front of a console with two buttons on it. And that is some of the wildest shit that you or anyone could ever do. As a scientist, you know that you are well outside of your oaths, your Hippocratic oaths, all of that jazz, because you stumbled into a strange place. It's like if you went into an operating room and just started connecting yourself to shit all willy-nilly without any sort of idea of what you're doing. That is on a 15, that's what you get. Not trying to dissuade you either way, but I think with that,
I understand.
You take a beat to pray and go, I have a machine on my head that I don't know what it does.
He pushes the green button.
Okay, man. Sure, man. Yeah, dude. Yeah, bud. For sure. No problem. Definitely planned on that. Yes, sir.
Why?
Guys, I got a mattress from Lisa, the luxury hybrid, and it is changing my life. First, I'm just going to tell you, first of all, it lays flat like this. Yeah. A lot of beds that I have had in the past are at a 45-degree angle or worse, Dracula style, 180.
Yeah.
So the Lisa mattress is flat, which we love. The next
that
thing,
is 180. I do just want to say that the flat is 180.
It's way longer than my body.
Okay.
A lot of beds, my head and feet dangle off of them like a child, like Will Ferrell in the film Elf.
Yeah.
And yes. The elf beds. This is not like that. This bed is bigger than my body, which is incredible.
Is it thin like a tissue?
No. No. It's comfortable like a million tissues.
Whoa.
Sorry, it says here, don't compare it to a million tissues. No. It's got aerated... It's got aerated foam channels and an ultra breathable dual spring system. It's like sitting in between the balance of foam and spring. It's like living in the middle, in the mid space. It's the perfect balance. The in the shadow lands. And it can keep you cool. They got a chill hybrid too. If you want to go a little bit cooler,
like
advanced
me,
advanced cooling, luxury quilt top. If you want, exactly.
I'm a chill hybrid.
Yeah,
you're a chill hybrid.
Yeah, half Travis, half electric.
Go to Lisa.com for 20% off mattresses, plus get an extra $50 off with promo code ADVENTURE, exclusive for our listeners. That's Leesa.com, promo code ADVENTURE for 20% off mattress, plus an extra $50 off. Support our show and let them know we sent you after checkout. Lisa.com, promo code ADVENTURE.
And check this out.
That's pretty good, Griffin.
Thanks. I'm a big boy. I need tempo. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the advertisements here on the Adventure Zone. I'd like to tell you about Tempo.
And with us is special guest, J.K. Simmons.
That's not my tempo.
Well, no.
It's not my tempo.
Have him say, like, that is my tempo.
Oh, that is my tempo.
Okay, now J.K., make him say, Griffin's the best.
And Griffin's also the best. Give me pictures of Spider-Man.
You didn't tell him to say that. That was you.
He's
doing
on the
voice.
Headphones.
Okay.
He's got his own cans. He brought them from home.
Okay.
He's a professional.
Why do you guys like this?
What do you
mean?
Can
you just do a normal advertisement? Can you do a normal ad?
Okay. So, I'm a busy guy, and so is Travis. He knows J.K. Simmons. So, when you're busy and you're on the go and you want to eat good food, but you only have, 2 minutes to heat it up, you can still have really yummy stuff thanks to Tempo. This is my tempo. I'm talking about Tuscan bacon mushroom chicken.
Ooh.
I'm talking about 5-spice glazed chicken thighs.
Yeah, yes.
They got seafood options. They got chili shrimp rice bowl. They got so many stuff. They got protein pack stuff. They're always swapping around the menu, so you can always try out new stuff, and it all tastes really good. And you can get it ready really, really fast.
And even J.K. Simmons likes it. He's the pickiest eater I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He has really specific tastes, and there is a special J.K. Simmons only menu on Tempo.
Yeah,
I eat pictures of Spider-Man.
If you go to tempomeals.com, you'll see an option that'll be like the special J.K. Simmons menu. When you click on it, it says, are you J.K. Simmons? It's like a CAPTCHA. And like, are you J.K. Simmons? And it tests you. And if it's not, then it'll be like, get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. This is for J.K. only, it says.
Wow. So for a limited time, Tempo is offering my listeners 60% off your first box. Go to tempomeals.com/adventure. That's tempomeals.com/adventure for 60% off your first box. tempomeals.com/adventure. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. To choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there, or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
The Eurovision Song Contest. Hundreds of millions of people watch it every year.
It played a part in a democratic revolution in Portugal, it introduced the world to river dance, and it launched Celine Dion's career.
But you might have never watched it.
It's got so much history and so many storylines that it can feel overwhelming to get into.
Mm-hmm. It's like a Real Housewives season, but everyone's a better singer.
Sometimes. But that's where we come in. I'm Dimitri Pompei.
I'm Oscar Montoya.
And I'm Jeremy Bent, and we're the hosts of Eurovangelists.
If you're new to Eurovision, we'll tell you everything you need to know to start enjoying the world's most important song competition.
And if you're already a fan, we'll dive deep on its wildest moments, like when Ireland sent a turkey puppet to sing for them.
Eurovangelists.
New episodes every Thursday.
On MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jordan Cruciola, host of Feeling Seen, where we start by asking our guests just one question. What movie character made you feel seen?
I knew exactly what it was.
Clementine. From Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Joy Wang / Jobu Tupaki.
That one question launches amazing conversations about their lives, the movies they love, and about the past, present, and future of entertainment.
Roy in Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I worry about what this might say about me, but I've brought Tracy Flick in the film Election.
So if you like movies, diverse perspectives, and great conversations, check us out.
Oof, this is real.
New episodes of Feeling Seen drop every week on MaximumFun.org.
And that's a serious rap on Brother Philo. Dad, you got a back of the character made?
Guys, Philo falls to the ground and is disquietingly still.
Okay, from pushing a button.
From pushing a green button.
I would say there were a lot of actions that led up to pushing the button, Justin.
That's a good point, Travis. Yes. Okay, quick update to the initiative and we're off.
Unfucking believable. Great turn, great round. Great round, everybody. Great turn and great round. Classic.
Dad, can you? It's me, James Lipton. Dad, is Philo with us? Could we maybe speak to him about that decision?
Yes, I am here.
Yeah, so why'd you do that?
I thought it would maybe control the things within the device, within the containment.
Awesome. I love that for all of us. I love that for the season.
Okay, so Dad died. What else? What was next?
Next in the order are the crawlers.
And I'd like to point out that if this were Doctor Who,
yeah,
and I had done that, it would have reversed the polarity.
Yeah, for sure.
And then all of a sudden, everyone would be saying, he's a god, he's a god.
Now, hold on, Dad. That assumes that you are the doctor. And that this isn't a regeneration episode, because you might just be fodder for the cannons. Mm. I also love, Dad, your extreme confidence that your character didn't die when you have absolutely no idea what that helmet does. But you're sure. like, you didn't
it's
die.
All about, it's, It's all about faith, Travis. Well,
yeah, I'm wild about what just happened. Okay, we're gonna just keep on trucking. Like, that didn't just happen.
Yep.
Okay.
So, Brother Philo's on the ground. He is not moving. The Marquis has updated. Apparently, whatever just happened drained some of the power from these batteries. The indicator now reads 12. The claws, the hands, are up next. You are going to be surrounded here, Crawford Muttner, because you are the closest target to these claws. They are all going to attack you, and because they have the Vine Blight there on the other side, looks like three of these five will be with advantage.
Okay.
So, that's a 10?
No.
Versus AC?
Incorrect.
No. 7 versus AC?
No.
Another 10 versus AC. Wow, you are getting some lucky breaks here.
I'm very dexterous. And these are
okay, that
hands.
Is a that is a crit.
Yes, that does.
Yes, of course it does.
I'll give you that one.
That claw just seems to hop up in the air and uppercut you. It does 7 points of bludgeoning damage. Woo. With its crit. The last claw is going to get a 22 versus
AC.
Yeah,
that hits as well.
That one hits you for 5 bludgeoning damage as it sort of leaps up in the air and conks down on your head like a coconut falling from a tree.
Of course.
The other sort of surviving crawling claw here, the other surviving hand, is going to make its way towards
just
you.
Just absolutely desecrate Philo's body.
You can see it looked at Philo's body. With sort of like dinosaur with its hand, sort of its middle finger being its long brontosaurus neck. You guys know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Checked out Philo's body and then was like, that's not an issue anymore. And started to climb its way towards you, Lady Godwin. But you chucked that rock from a very long distance, and I don't think a little hand is able to make it all the way there in one turn. Next in the order is the Shambling Mound.
Oh, no. I was hoping he wouldn't get to take a shot.
I'm going to roll a d6 here. 3. 3 more crawling claws pop out of the Shambling Mound and hops right back into formation here. Oh, that's only 2.
Is one of them Lady Gaga's hand?
Make a luck check for me, Lady Godwin. Thank you, Mac. That's a great point. No. On a 4.
4.
No, this is not. There is still a lot of body inside of the containment unit. So these are just 3 other hands that have spawned in. But that is the
indicator says 12 now. Do I know when
yes,
that happened?
It drained. Yes, I explained that. It drained 4 power when... when Brother Philo used the device. That button is no longer illuminated, the green button that he just hit.
Okay. Oh, so we don't get turns to put on the helmet and push the button?
Next in the order is Lady Godwin. Lady Godwin, you are up.
Okay, see, this is tough. Because normally in this situation, I'd want to focus fire on the lump because it's just going to keep generating hands, presumably.
But sure.
My hand is in that lump.
Yeah.
So I do need this to keep going a bit longer till I can get that puppy out.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and swing Jennifer Meyer at the hand that's coming for me.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
I know it's a little gauche, but like as a barbarian...
Sure.
You know, all you have is a hammer, et cetera.
It is a little hand. You are higher on this small staircase that you guys are on, so I will give you advantage on this attack roll.
So you're stabbing the hand that feeds you.
Very, very good.
No, I'm looking for the hand that feeds me. Looks like a 12.
A 12?
No, wait.
A 12 just hits. No, yeah.
12 just hits. Great.
12 just hits. Roll damage. Pretty sure you statistically... can't not hit it. You're not in rage right now, are you?
No, no.
Would you like to be? Because that's a bonus action for you. I know you're new to the barbarian arts.
Oh, thank you. So I need to say that before. Yeah, I will go ahead and get into rage. I had rage selected, but I'll use a bonus action to get into rage. Thank you.
Okay. What does rage look like for Lady Godwin?
Like a huff. She's in a real tizzy. She's got her knickers in a twist.
Okay,
she
fine.
She is. And you know what's weird? Is she seems nicer than before.
That's when you gotta watch out.
That's how you know there's trouble.
The words are nicer, but the like pitch is a little higher.
The intent is not. What about your body? Is there a disconnect from like what your body's doing and your head is doing?
I think that's it. It almost you got a little bit more of that the body is acting almost without her thinking about it, right?
Okay.
Like the rage is like she's more, you know, appropriately dignified, mad, and you can see the body like almost using its muscle memory to because it's a little bit less, you know, the ego is a little bit less in the way.
Okay. All right. You absolutely squish this hand. Like it is not the most sturdy of NPCs. It barely takes a breeze to destroy these things, and so a horrible cleave from a gigantic axe just like it disintegrates.
I'm gonna use the rest of my movement action to close the gap on me and Philo as much as I can.
You get about halfway there. With the rest of your movement. That also sort of brings you squarely in range of the other three hands that have just spawned in. Did you have something else?
No, I was just thinking to myself that I think that might be the first time in Adventures in History that one of us has ever accounted for movement action.
Yes, it's a new day.
I want to thank Baldur's Gate 3 and this great map that Griffin has made.
Yes.
Helped me to understand how Dungeons & Dragons works.
Next in the order is the Vine Blight that you spawned in when you interacted with this battery. Mutt, it is going to try and constrict you once again, this time with, unfortunately, advantage, because it does have you pretty well flanked in here.
Sure.
So let's see how that goes. Oh, my God! You are in the Matrix right now. That's an 8 and a 10 with the advantage.
Can't do it. So I'm wiry, man. Oh,
that would have fucking hurt, too. You guys, have you been marking your damage, Trav?
I have.
Yes, okay, cool. That would have almost killed you. But fortunately for you, you are able to, I'm not sure how, dodge these cables that it is whipping in your direction. I'm going to have a little surprise. Roll a luck check for me. Roll an animal handling check for me, Mutt.
Me? Okay, hold on.
I didn't.
Animal handling. 13.
Okay. There is a loud bark that echoes through this underground laboratory. And like a greyhound, it is not a greyhound, it is much bigger and sloppier than a greyhound. Sloppy dashes in and just devours one of the hands.
Good boy.
That is next to you. It is a fearsome, fearsome beast. The likes of which you are completely unfamiliar with, because you can see as you watch Sloppy devour one of these hands that was attacking you. You can see by the door into the lab, still sort of cowed with her tail between her legs, Lady Agatha Thistlewaite. I think we should drop the lady from the name, because that will get
you
confused.
Can just call her Aggie. Just call her Aggie. It's fine.
You see Aggie watch this sort of still terrified in the doorway.
Yeah, you're doing great, Aggie. You stay
sloppy
safe.
Looks
sloppy. Proud of you too, bud. We all got our roles to play.
Sloppy.
Yeah.
Next in the order is you, Mutt.
I am going to, especially since they're so close to me, brandish my sickle.
Okay.
No, my dagger. I got me a karambit. It's a curved dagger.
Cool.
And I'm
going to attempt to slice the cables of the cable beast in front of me.
Of the vine blight. Very smart. So it, I will say there is one thick cable that appears to be going towards the pylon. There is one cable that is coming from sort of daisy chained to the other two batteries on this side. Which one are you attacking?
So there's one going to the pylon.
Yes.
And then, so it's, okay, so I'm understanding it. They're each connected to each other.
Yes.
And then going to the pylon.
Right.
Hmm. But if I slice the cable, it's going to disconnect the power.
It sure is.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I'm gonna disconnect. I'm going for the one.
I will lay it out like this. You have three choices. One is the cable that is leading to the gigantic pylon on the south side of the room connected directly to the unit. Then you are also connected to the one battery that is still shut down and frayed and sparking, and then the one battery that is turned on. Those are your three options if you want to do this action.
I'm going to cut the one connected to the sparking one.
Okay. Give me... here's what I will say. This works. You slash through. It's a cable on the ground. You have no problem hacking through that with this dagger. As you do that, sure enough, the vine blight unspools, unfurls, and drops to the ground and is gone. However, I'm going to need a dexterity saving throw from both you and Sloppy here.
I got a 14.
That is insufficient.
Aw, damn.
Sloppy gets a... That is a 6.
No!
But I will also say 3 of these claws are also going to make dex saves. Save. He good. And save.
Griffin, can I make an additional dex save to push Sloppy out of the way and take his damage if I succeed?
Yes, let me establish this first. As you do that, that battery explodes. It shoots electricity out in all directions. And you see an arc of it hit one of the hands and it just disintegrates. The other two hands that were in range, they leap back away from you, disengaging, and they avoid the electricity. You are hit by one of these bolts of electricity, and you are going to take 6 points of lightning damage. I will give you a chance to make a dex save with disadvantage if you want to try and knock Sloppy out of the way.
Okay.
Oh, but you are able to knock Sloppy away. And you are going to take more damage. Okay. As another bolt of lightning strikes you, you take just 1 point.
But Sloppy's okay?
Electric damage. Sloppy is okay. Sloppy is a bit confused at first as it slides to the ground. And remember, you basically have Sloppy charmed right now with your magic. So it looks up at you and growls for a second, but then it realizes sort of what you just did and chills out a bit.
Sick.
Philo.
Hmm?
You are there, and then you are not. You are looking into the tank, and you press a button, and then you are in... You don't feel anything. You are just in darkness. And it's not a sort of unconscious dreaming darkness. You feel like you are just in a dark room, and you are weightless in this space, and you make a... This is still pretty fucking magical and stuff, so I want another Arcana check out of you. Okay. No, you know what? No, we'll say this. Perception check.
A perception check?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, perception check.
18. Whoo!
You have the general feeling that you are not alone. in this place. There is some sort of presence that is in here with you. And just as you sort of recognize that, you become conscious and present and aware of yourself in a different space. You are strapped to a table, a small table, almost a sort of like workshop station. And you are absolutely surrounded on all sides by body parts that are moving around sort of on top of you. You feel completely different. You feel very little. You are present. Your senses are sort of here, but your sense of touch is not, as far as you can tell. You are not sure where you are, what's going on, what has happened to you. But sure enough, you get the impression that you are now inside of this this containment unit, and the shambling mound is on top of you.
Yikes.
What do you do?
Well, I'm strapped down, right?
You are, yes. It appears to just be one strap sort of wrapped around your arms and your torso. Again, like it is confusing because you can't get a great look at what's happened to you. But you get the impression that that's what's going on.
Can I make this body operate? Can I make it work?
Yeah. I mean, you can feel, you can move yourself around a little bit, but you are restrained.
Could I free myself with sleight of hand?
Yes. Give me a sleight of hand check. I will give you advantage on this. For whatever reason, you find it actually kind of easy to try and loose yourself from this strap. Did I say easy? You rolled two tens there. You do manage to wriggle free. As you do so, one of the hands here takes notice of you and is going to attack you. You notice on this hand a blue signet ring. That is an 11 versus AC?
Does not hit.
Okay. It tries to punch you, but for whatever reason, it does not connect. You are, again, having a hard time telling what has happened to you because you're surrounded by body parts. It's hard to kind of, like, look around and see your own body in this body salad. Gross. Next right. In the order. Unless, did you have anything else? That's probably your action, Philo, just freeing yourself from this thing. And
he's little?
Watching, unless you had some sort of free action.
I was going to try to hold hands with the sapphire ring hand. Just like, you know, intertwine fingers in between.
I will allow that. I will say if you don't succeed on this, it is going to get another attack on you.
Okay.
But this is going to be, we'll call it just another sleight of hand. And this is just you trying to grab the correct hand out of a big, big pile. This is not with advantage. This is, okay.
16.
Yeah. With a 16, you reach out, you grab Lady Godwin's ringed hand, and you are now holding it in your own. Your hand, I will say, you can kind of see now, it appears to be impossibly small. Very small. But you have managed to grab on to this thing. Next in the order are the crawling claws. These three are going to move and attack you, Lady Godwin. Actually, that one would not be able to get around you without taking an attack of opportunity. This one is going to just
come
do a normal...
Come on, then. Come get it.
A normal attack. That's 15 versus AC.
For Lady Godwin, that is a hit.
That is a hit. Okay, it hits you for 3 bludgeoning damage. Because you are raging, you half that because you have resistance.
Round up.
So yes, you take 2 damage. The first one is going to attack you with advantage, 13 versus AC.
That's a hit.
That's two bludgeoning, so one for that hit. And the other one is going to attack with advantage, another hit, another two, so one from that. One bludgeoning damage. So they all get hits on you, but you are fucking...
Really
you
steamed.
You are really steamed right now. You are really, really beat. Did you short rest before you came in here? Because you did. You were missing HP from your horse bite, which is
I don't think we said it.
Okay, that's fine. You still have your.
Probably
you're
still, should have.
Still rocking your horse bite. And now three punches. Okay, next. Oh, we have three more claws here. Two of them are going to move up on you. One is going to move on Sloppy. None of them are going to be with advantage because they are not in flank. 21.
Versus AC? Yeah.
That's two bludgeoning damage there. The other one, 14 versus AC?
Just hits. It ties.
Okay. Yes, that's a hit. So that's five bludgeoning damage.
Total?
No, from the second one.
Oh, boy.
So the first one reaches up and just sort of punches you in the stomach. Second one, right in your...
Say it.
Jennies.
Yeah.
Right in your penis. It hurts bad. This one is going to try to karate chop the dog. It does not. It's a six. The shambling mound is up next, and it is going to... spawn some more hands. It spawns four hands. You guys are doing an okay job keeping the crawling claw population down in this room, but this thing is wilding out and spawning a lot more. I'm deleting that battery. It is no longer functional.
Can I ask about the... It says on here that my unarmored defense should be 10 plus my dexterity modifier plus my constitution modifier. I need to do something on this sheet? Because my armor
No, it should automatically run those numbers for
it
you.
It should be 14. So I don't know. My dexterity modifier is 2 and my... my constitution modifier is 2. So there should be 14. It's saying 10.
Uh-huh, okay. Well, yeah, we'll...
update it.
Yeah, go ahead and manually update it.
And then I'm going to give myself 3 points back because none of those hits would hit.
Right? Yeah, that is fine.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for catching that. Okay, we are going back to the top of the order to you, Lady Godwin.
Philo, what's his scenario looking like over there? What am I seeing?
Either give me an investigation check.
Can you just tell me what I see?
His still ass body lying on the ground.
Okay.
With a helmet on his head.
I don't have to roll to see. Yeah, it's rough all around. And I got three pals that I guess would get attacks of opportunity on me. Shit, you know what? I gotta try to get to Philo, I think.
Okay.
I know they're gonna get their hits, but like,
yes,
I just found out my armor class is like unbelievable, so.
Yeah, sure. For a 14, unassailable.
Yeah.
There aren't even numbers higher than that on the fucking dice, man.
Not that I know of, yeah.
Okay, so you're gonna run up to Philo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can make that, but you are going to take 3 attacks of opportunity here.
Let him try.
1. 14. Ties. Hits.
Makes sense. It's an extremely high roll, though. Griff, good job. Couldn't have gotten any higher.
Unbelievable. That is 5, so 3 bludgeoning damage from the first attack of opportunity. Second, we're looking at a 5. Not going to hit. And the third, claw, 19. That is going to hit for another 3 bludgeoning damage. So that's 6 bludgeoning damage total. You are able to get over to Philo. What do you do?
Are any of the hands, like, close enough that they're going to be able to get to us?
Like, are they an immediate threat to him?
You are in range of every claw right now. So yes.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm gonna have to. Do I know if he needs help or not? Like, I know he needs help, but like having death save help.
I mean, I don't know. All that you know is that he is motionless on the ground. You are close enough that you can see he is not breathing. He is.
Yeah.
This is a body just like everything else in this room, attached to a helmet. After pressing the green button, is no longer illuminated. The red button is still illuminated on the console, and you don't see your hand inside. It seems to be pretty deep in the pile right now. I mean, that is all that you would know.
Okay. I'm gonna. Man, I don't. If I said right now I want to hit that big miss with my axe as hard as I can,
you cannot do that.
Feasible?
Okay. It is protecting you all from it as much as it is protecting it from you all. So there's no way for you to sort of get inside of the unit as it is closed down now.
But the batteries right now are saying 12.
So yes,
12, and all of them are lit up.
Yes.
If I may point something out. When the new hand spawned, Justin did not roll a luck check this time.
Oh, well, that's a fair point. Roll a luck check for me.
I thought it was in there with...
Yeah, it's in there with Philo.
Yeah, that was... That was before more hands spawned out. Okay. And so this time, with Philo holding on to it, if it came out...
No. This is a fair point. I think the luck check is gone now because Brother Philo has. It wouldn't have mattered anyway because that's a 3. So no, you do not see your hand.
Really terrible. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, I feel so out of my depth here because he touched the button and did all that nonsense.
There's a red button on the console.
Yeah, I think in her infinite wisdom, I think. Slapping the red button is probably just about as good as she can be able to do.
Okay. You slap the red button. As that happens, you see the batteries, one at a time, glow bright, hot yellow, and explode, and darken. Then the two pylons glow in the same way, even brighter now, casting long shadows against all of the people and dogs and hands in this room. And the containment unit glows in the same way. And then they similarly explode. I need you to roll 12 D10 lightning damage.
For Lady Godwin? Oh.
For me?
We'll see.
What do you need to do that?
You, Lady Godwin, if you go to the dice button and click Advanced Roller, you can select. Wow, that's quite good.
Huh.
On a 12 D10. Okay. That is a 70.
Heck of a roll.
71.
Heck of a roll.
As it explodes, it looks like a plasma ball inside of the chamber. The shambling mound is lit up by more arcs of lightning than your eyes can possibly sort of perceive. As it does so, it gurgles and undulates, and it begins to just sort of crumble. And some emergency lights inside of the lab kick on. It's much darker in here now. And you all see that where there once was a shambling mound, there now is just a handful of these hands. There are 5 hands. There's a lot of other sort of unidentifiable detritus now inside of this containment unit. But 5 hands remain as sort of combatants inside of the tank. You've got another 10 on the outside, so 15 hands total. Quite a bit. But the shambling mound is no more. It was electrocuted for an outrageous amount of damage and disintegrates. You see these 5 hands. You also see a small table in the center of the containment unit, you see your ring, Lady Godwin, on a hand, weathered.
No, wait. How does Lady Godwin see that if she is dead?
No, you didn't take that damage.
That wasn't
the Shambling Mound did.
Okay, got it. That makes so much more sense. I was sitting here thinking about rolling a new character. Fuck. Okay.
No, you are not. You are not obliterated by Simi. Yeah, no. That purged the power in the batteries through the containment unit. It could go up higher than that, but that was a very high roll. So it was more than enough.
And then we juiced all the batteries before we activated it.
That's nice. Right. So you see these five hands. You see your signet ring, Lady Godwin, on a hand that is suspended in midair by a small figure inside of the chamber. And as the body parts continue to slough away to the floor, you see this figure revealed. It is the strangest thing you've seen today, which is saying something. Because holding your disembodied hand in the air is Pinocchio the Wooden Puppet Boy.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.